Jackram held it up so that it twisted this way and that. "Well, Perks, upon my oath, I am not a swearing man," he began.
"No, you're not. I've noticed," said Polly.
"But that grubby old paper was getting on my nerves. Why didn't you ever get a proper pouch made for yourself? One of the saddlers here sewed that up for me in half an hour."
"Well, that's life, isn't it?" said Jackram. "Every day you think, ye gods, it's about time I had a new bag. But then it gets all so busy you end up using the old one. Thank you, Perks."
"Oh, I thought, what can I give the man who has everything? And that was all I could afford," said Polly. "But you don't have everything, Sarge. Sarge, you don't, do you?"
She sensed him freeze over. The noises of the kitchen went away beyond a dome of frigid silence.
"You stop right there, Perks," he said, lowering his voice.
"I just thought you might like to show someone that locket of yours, Sarge," said Polly cheerfully. "The one round your neck. And don't glare at me, Sarge. Oh, yeah, I could walk away, and I'd never be sure, really sure, and maybe you'd never show it to anyone else ever, or tell them the story. And one day we'll both be dead, and, well, what a waste, eh?"
Jackram glared. "Upon your oath, you are not a dishonest man," said Polly.
"Good one, Sarge. You tell people every day."
Around them, beyond the dome, the kitchen buzzed with the busyness of women. Women always seemed to be doing things with their hands, holding babies or pans or plates or wool or a brush or a needle. Even when they were talking, busyness was happening.
"No one would believe you," said Jackram at last.
"Who would I want to tell?" said Polly. "And you're right. No one would believe me. I'd believe you, though."
Jackram stared into his fresh mug of beer, as if trying to see the future in the foam. He seemed to reach a decision, pulled the chain out of his noisome undershirt, unfastened the locket, and gently snapped it open.
"There you go," he said, passing it across. "Much good may it do you."
There was a miniature painting in each side of the locket, a dark-haired girl and a blonde young man in the uniform of the ins and outs.
"Good one of you," said Polly.
"Pull the other one. It has got bells on," said Jackram.
"No, honestly," said Polly. "I look at the picture and look at you, and I can see that face in her face. Paler, of course. Not so full. And who was the boy?"
"William, his name was," said Jackram.
"Your sweetheart?"
"Yes."
"And you followed him into the army?"
"Oh, yes, same old story. I was a big, strong girl, and, well, you can see the picture. The artist did his best, but I was never an oil painting. Barely a watercolour, really. Where I came from, what a man looked for in a future wife was someone who could lift a pig under each arm. And a couple of days later, I was lifting a pig under each arm, helping my dad, and one of my clogs came off in the muck, and the old man was yelling at me, and I thought, 'The hell with this, Willie never yelled. Got hold of some men's clothes, never you mind how. Cut my hair right off, kissed the Duchess, and was a chosen man within 3 months.'
"What's that?"
"It's what we used to call a corporal," said Jackram. "Chosen man. Yeah, I smiled about that too. And I was on my way. The army's a piece of piss compared to running a pig farm and looking after 3 lazy brothers."
"How long ago was that, Sarge?"
"Couldn't say, really. I swear I don't know how old I am, and that's the truth," said Jackram. "Lied about my age so often I ended up believing me."
She began, very carefully, to transfer the chewing tobacco into the new bag.
"And you're a young man," said Polly quietly.
"Oh, we had great times, great times," said Jackram, stopping for a moment to stare at nothing. "He never got promoted on account of his stutter, but I had a good shouty voice and officers liked that. But Willie never minded, not even when I made it to sergeant. And then he got killed at Seppel, right next to me."
"I'm sorry."
"You don't have to be, you didn't kill him," said Jackram evenly. "But I stepped over his body and skewered the bugger that did. Wasn't his fault, wasn't my fault. We were soldiers. Then a few months later, I had a bit of a surprise, and he was called William too, just like his father. Good job I had a bit of leave, eh? Me gran raised him for me, put him to a trade as an armourer over in Scritts. Good trade, that. No one kills a good armourer. They tell me he looks just like his dad. A captain I met once had bought a bloody good sword off him. Showed it to me, not knowing the history, of course. Damn good sword. It had scroll work on the hilt and everything, very classy. He's married with 4 kids now, I heard. Got a carriage and pair, servants, big house. Yeah, I see you're paying attention."
"Was her, well, Wasser and the Duchess said,